Our reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quinquennius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the Lord be in my heart and on my lips, that I may proclaim his word worthily and well this Christmas night. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you look at the ways in which Christmas is celebrated in different cultures around the world, there's one clear area of disagreement. Should Christmas be celebrated on Christmas Day, the 25th of December, or should it be celebrated on Christmas Eve, the 24th of December? Well, in the UK, the tradition is very definitely to have the main celebration on Christmas Day. But in most other European countries, the celebration takes place on the evening of the 24th of December. And the reason for this disagreement is quite simple. The Bible tells us that the birth of Jesus took place at night, but it doesn't specify whether it occurred before or after midnight. Nevertheless, of one thing we can be certain. The Son of God was delivered into this world in the dead of night, a night that was both literal and metaphorical. The situation for God's people was desperate. Centuries had passed since they had been an independent nation. Centuries had passed since the last prophet had appeared to speak of God's promises. And now they suffered under the occupation of a brutal and repressive empire. Under the Romans, the most powerful empire the world had ever seen, they had no hope of rebelling successfully. The land of Israel was divided between the directly occupied zone of Judea, where Jesus was born at Bethlehem, and the Roman protectorate of Galilee, ruled by the puppet king Herod, who claimed to follow the Jewish faith, but made a mockery of God's covenant with his cruelty and hypocrisy. And between them, Herod's soldiers and the occupying Roman forces terrorized the population. Meanwhile, the religious scholars, the Pharisees, retreated from confronting the horrors of everyday life into the abstruse interpretation and study of the law. In doing so, of course, they laid yet another burden on the people. New laws and new religious regulations, virtually impossible to obey, so that only professional religious scholars could hope, in their eyes, to find favour in God's sight. It is into this dark night that the angels of Luke's Gospel burst in blinding light, appearing not to kings or religious scholars, but to simple shepherds, just as, long ago, God called Moses and David and Amos from keeping flocks to be prophets of his kingdom. And this was the angel's message: glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace. They are words that ring down through the ages. And the angel's promise of peace tells us, in no uncertain terms, that this child is none other than the Prince of Peace prophesied by Isaiah. This is from Isaiah chapter 9. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. We've become accustomed to the idea that Christmas embodies hope for peace. On occasion, that idea has even been honoured, such as in the famous Christmas truce of 1914. On the whole, however, Christians have tended to treat the angel's promise of peace as one that looks ahead to Christ, the reign of Christ after his second coming. But consider those other words of the angels to the shepherds. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. In other words, the sign that confirms the angel's promise of peace is not a cloud, a thunderclap, or a voice from heaven, or even the second coming in glory of Jesus himself. It is the arrival of Jesus into this world as a tiny baby. Jesus is the sign and fulfillment of God's promise, a promise that Jesus himself repeated. For we hear an echo of that message of the angels at his birth, who give honor and glory to God first, and then promise a new dawn for human beings in Jesus' teaching on the greatest commandment in Matthew's gospel. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. If we obeyed these commandments, if we loved God first, and then our neighbor, then the angel's message of glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, would surely be fulfilled. Because the peace of Christmas is not a peace deferred. It is a peace commanded by the Prince of Peace himself. As Jesus goes on to say in Matthew, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Jesus is the Prince of Peace, not just at his birth, but throughout his life, and at his death, and in the glory of his resurrection. Jesus echoes the message of the angels who announced his own birth in commanding us to give glory to God and to be at peace with one another. And yet, as this 2017 draws to a close, it's undeniable, impossible to ignore, that peace in this world seems further away than ever. The world seems less stable, more dangerous, and more violent. And perhaps most disturbingly of all, the solutions offered by those in power seem to involve more violence. We're told that in order to solve the problems of the world, we need more weapons, larger armies, more aggressive control of our borders. Now, of course, I don't have a solution to all the world's problems, any more than any of you do. But I do believe that the message of Christmas and the message of the gospel is that violence is a failed solution. Herod relied on violence to achieve his aims, and he achieved nothing. None of us on our own can bring peace to this world, which seems as far away today as it was at that dark time that Jesus was born. But we can choose to accept and respond to the message of the angels by rejecting violence in our day-to-day lives. We can choose to reject not just physical violence, but also emotional violence and manipulative behavior, as well as the violent language of threats and denunciation that increasingly, it seems, is regarded as normal and acceptable. And we can choose to respect, as fellow human beings, those who disagree with us. We can only turn away from violence as a society if each of us makes an individual choice. We can't wait for others to make that choice for us, or simply hope that society will somehow change. On that night, 2,000 years ago, Jesus offered himself as a sign of the truce that God was declaring in human beings' long war of hatred against their Creator. God didn't wait for human beings to change or to become better people. He acted for himself in his own right, in his own time. In the angel's message to the shepherds, he challenges us to do the same. We can't wait for others to embrace peace. We must live it out for ourselves. And tonight, we remember not only the night when Jesus gave himself to us as a helpless child, we also remember another night, 33 years later, when he gave his body and blood for our redemption. As we share in his body and blood on this holy night, let us also become sharers in his peace and sharers of his peace. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace. Amen.